And we open God's precious word and read it. We're reminded again and again that he will always be there. Faithfulness God requires in their life if we want to be more like him. And he will help us to be more faithful if we want to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our life in every detail. Let's turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah, chapter 6. Verse 16. We'll read this one verse and then we'll go farther in the message this morning. The Lord has been so good to us, so many things he's done for us, our church, our nation. But yet we still need the touch of God in our lives more than ever. We need to be what he wants us to be. And this beautiful portion of God's word, Jeremiah 6, 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for yourself. Oh, but here's the last portion of that verse breaks her heart. That's them, and that's the world today. But listen to what the world says. But they said, we will not walk therein. We won't go the way of God. We won't let him direct our paths. There is a pathway, and that pathway leads home. That pathway that he sets before us. And the word pathway, or the word path this morning, indicates to us a direction, a fulfillment, a place that he has designed every one of us to take once we get saved. Now, we know the pathway is salvation. But he's talking about more than salvation. After we're on that pathway, we want to live our own life, a lot of us. We want to have some new something. That's okay if he's the author of it. But Jeremiah tells us the old paths, the tried way, because he is the way. Let's look at those thoughts this morning. It's a way of direction or travel. It's a way or the manner of living, if you will, that he wants us to endure. His ways, not our ways. Every one of us have a separate way. And the truth is, our ways collectively, additionally, whatever, are not his ways. So we must look at the word this morning, the pathway. When I look at the word path in the Word of God, I think about sometimes Paul talked about a race that's set before us. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes. And read one passage in chapter 9, verse 11. He's talking about these paths. He's talking about a race, if you will. We know something about a race. Paul described a race. He had marathons. And Ecclesiastes 9, 11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Want to look this morning at the thought, there is abundant life on his pathway. It won't be your pathway, it won't be mine, but he gives us not only life everlasting, but abundant life if we will choose and let him choose for us the pathway. I want to look at about five different things this morning if we have time to do that. First of all, let's look at the limited time that we have to be productive. You may say, well, my parents lived to be 80 or 90 and I expect to be 100. That's still a pretty limited time. But then God has allocated and set things before us during that time that we must not miss. We must not let it go by the wayside. And the time to be productive is when God opens the door. If he opens the door, no man can shut it. That's what he said. And if he closes the door, you're not going to open it. So God has given you and I a limited time to be productive in the Word of God. Then the second thing I want to look at, let's help and let the Lord look for the best path. He's already directed their steps. The Word of God is their pathway. And we're going to let that look from heaven control our life by the precious word of God. And then we're going to learn some more about his pathway, some blessings in the pathway. Then we'll have time, hopefully, to look at some lessons that we need to learn, because there's a concern that we could miss and we could misappropriate some things he has given us. And then if we have time, we'll look at the thought of looking to Jesus for the soon appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get started. The limited time that we have, there is a race set before us. And when I read about races, Paul gives us one other explanation about races. And let's look at that passage in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. We'll look just briefly at this limited time that we have to be productive the way he wants us to be. Let's think about the race that's a relay race. We watch those on TV, and if you're in school, you may have participated in a relay race. I love them. Four runners involved, and that's what I want to talk about. And four runners, I thought we were talking about individuals. Yes, but you see, before I got here, I had parents, and they had parents, and they had parents. And then we could even look at the fact that you have children, you may have grandchildren, or you may have someone. And there is a limited time. In this relay race, remember, there's four runners that we're going to look at this morning, and one of them takes a baton. That baton is important. It's about that long, and it's either a tube of metal, plastic, or wood. And that runner starts off with that baton. It's something that's required in the race. We have the Word of God. Let's look at that as our baton this morning. We're carrying the precious Word of God. And that runner, everyone starts at the same time, and he's running the race. And as he gets around a certain amount of laps, there's another runner back here. And when he gets a particular position, he starts that run in acceleration. And then when this runner gets by, he reaches by. Don't have much time to look back. If you look back, you might stumble, you might fall. Looking ahead. But that baton that he passes off to him, then he carries it 25% of the race, and another one likewise. And there is only a limited amount of time. There's some disqualifications, and a lot of the people disqualify. You could have four of the best runners, and you could be one of the best runners in the whole race, and you could have four of you. But if you miss acceleration, and you don't pass the baton, and you get out of bounds, or you drop the baton, you are disqualified. God has given us a limited time to be productive. I remember in high school one time, a lot of the ways you can pass a baton to someone else, it's like my children come behind me, and my grandchildren now have the ability to be with them a little bit, and there's only an amount of time, a little sacred time that we have to pass off that baton, if you will, just a little amount of time. When I was in high school, I remember I was in 10th grade, had the biology teacher. It was early in the year, and I really respected him. He had college graduated and local guy, came back to teach one year because he wanted to make some money to go back to medical school. He happened to be my basketball coach, clean-looking guy, you know, athletic type. I really respected him and looked up to him. And one day in the biology class at the end of the session, he said, "Class dismissed, the bell rang, Roy stay." And so I went, I remember where I went to the window, and he said, "You made like an 88 on the test." I said, "Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm kind of happy." He said, "Why would you be happy with an 88 when you could have made 100? And I said, "Well," so he talked to me not more than 5 minutes. He had that limited time to pass the baton in my direction. And he instilled in me that be the best you can. Don't be average. You know what average is? The worst of the best and the best of the worst. Who wants to be just average?" he said. And then he gave me that. He passed the baton only 5 minutes time. And the rest of the year, I did not make less than 100 on any test he threw at me. Not only that, it gave me enough determination. I don't think I failed to make 100 on anything in the rest of my high school year. Why? Because that teacher took 5 minutes of his time that was an allotted time to pass the baton in my direction. How many people could you influence? People look up to you. Maybe it's on their job, your children, your grandchildren. You only have a certain amount of time. And when God gives you that opportunity, you pass that baton to them. And this limited amount of time, God expects us to be what we ought to be and go the direction we need to go, and it is His pathway. We've looked, first of all, at the limited time to be productive. Let's look how we will look at the best path. Now, if it's up to you or me to choose the best path, we would probably stray. We would be like that one that tries to pass the baton and he drops it. Not only is he hurting himself, but when those two drop it, the others in the race are also disqualified. You see, when you end the race, the one that started with baton passes it off, and the last person that crosses the finish line has to have the baton. And God has given us this limited amount of time. So we need to make sure that we are in the best pathway. Now, he said it's got to be His pathway. Let's look at some scripture. It'll help guide us. If we're looking for the best pathway, we must ask the Lord for guidance, because He will direct us to Himself, to the precious book. In the Psalms chapter 25, verse 4, it says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path." So we've learned that if we're looking for the best way, it won't be yours, it won't be mine, it won't be anybody else's. It'll be in the precious word of God, and we must ask Him, "Show us thy will." And now he wants to do that more than you want to ask for it. But the reason a lot of us don't hear from Him, and He doesn't even speak to us about the pathway, He knows good and well a lot of us not going to follow it anyway. So these people that's in this race, they train over and over and over. And if one of them determines, "Hey, I'm going to drop it anyway, why even go farther?" He's not going to succeed. Not only will he not succeed, he will hinder those other people around him that's in the race. So, Lord, teach us thy ways. Teach us thy precepts. Not only must we ask the Lord for the guidance that we need, but we want to have that abundant life. Now, this race that's set before us, it's an abundant life, and He will set the pathway, He will set the direction we need to go. And then in Psalm 16:11, let's look at this abundant life. "Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So a lot of people say, "Well, I'm having the time of my life," and there is pleasure in sin, though for a short season. But if you want the abundant life, we must allow Him to show us, and we must be willing to go the pathways He wants us to go. Remember, it's not just about you. It's about not only your children, your grandchildren, but your fellow worker. It's about our nation. It's about whether or not we're going to be a nation that God will bless. I know who God will bless. God will bless the nation whose God is the Lord. And if we don't follow His precepts, we're in the wrong pathway, and we need not ask anything of God. But He will show us, and He will lead us into all truth. Psalm 16:11 again, "Thou will show me the path of life," the path that leads home. "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Not only pleasures as we're going, we can have that abundant life on an everyday basis. The greatest thrill in the world, I believe, is to have the fullness of the Holy Ghost to help us worship. And second, I believe, is to help someone else. When you help someone else and you see them, John said that there is no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. God gives us that blessing when we help someone else. And then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, he talks about this abundant life. "And God said, let the waters spring forth abundantly, the moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." He's talking about life. And the only way we can have fullness of life is let the Lord Jesus Christ be our Lord and follow His directions and let Him direct us in the path He wants us to go. And we go without wavering. We go without pride. We go realizing He is the Lord of our life. So we're looking for the right pathway. That is Him. Let's learn more. Let God teach us more about His path. Now, God knows everything, and He will show us what we need to know as we're on His pathway. There are commitments, and there are circumstances that come our direction as we're journeying on His pathway. He allows those. He allows trials. Remember what Peter said, the trials of your faith being much more precious than gold. And He expects us. He will give us trials and circumstances. Oh, you're still in His race. He's just teaching us what we need to have learned already, what we need to be reminded of, that there is fullness of joy, and sometimes we get pride. Paul had thorns in the flesh to keep him from getting pride, and he will allow sometimes trials and tribulations and circumstances on his pathway. But be of good cheer. Psalms 25:10 says there will be contentment, and there will be satisfaction and joy beyond measure on this pathway. Psalms 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. See, God may have a different pathway for you because He knows someone else is going to be on your team or someone else, your children or your grandchildren, I can't reach, but you could reach, and someone else. And God says all the pathways, don't matter which one, they're all mine. I remember in school, well, I keep remembering things of old because I learned so much back in those days. And I remembered we walked about a mile and a half to catch a bus. I told you that before. And I had choice in the afternoon getting off the bus. I could get off one way and go the Appalachian Trail and go home through the woods. A little bit farther, but what a joy that was. Different pathway, but all led to the same place. They all led home. And then sometimes I could go up what we call the Steve Branch, up through the woods, not even the trail, just go up through the woods. God, watch out for rattlesnake and copperheads that way. But boy, you could just the little streams up that way. And then I could go up two other ways to get to the house. But they all led to the same location. They led home. And God may have a different path for you and a different path for me. But all the pathways of God, God told us, lead home. And there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Contentment that we cannot be able to receive because He's got more than we'll be able to receive if we will be content. So He says in this chapter 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Don't matter which one He put you on, they all lead home and they're all filled with mercy. Oh, thank God we need mercy. Sometimes we wander. Sometimes we go astray. But He said there's mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. He will allow circumstances, but there's still contentment. No matter what happens on that pathway, mercy and truth will guide us. We'll always end up at home. Thank God He leads us all at home. And then in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. When we get tired and weary, even though after we have great services, sometimes, as He explained to us this morning, we still get tired and weary. The flesh is weak, don't you see? But He says when we get tired and weary, there's light from another country. Sometimes it gets dark in this old world, the darkness of the world, but there is a light that shineth. He told us it would be in our pathway. And in our pathway, His mercy, His truth, guiding us. And when we get tired and weary, despondent and discouraged, as often we do, we're still in the flesh. That bright shining light from heaven. How can I find that shining light? The pathway through the precious Word of God will direct you the right direction every time. The wonderful, inspired, inerrant Word of God. And then He tells us that we will be content all along this journey. Didn't say we wouldn't have troubles. Didn't say we wouldn't have trials. He sends those. He allows those. He orchestrates those for our good. And I've learned that anything is for my good. And he told us that all things work together for the good because he's the director. Remember, he's the one who puts us on the pathway. We're just following direction. But along the journey, mercy, truth, a guiding light. Look what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Contempt. He said, along this journey, even though the circumstances that we can't control, he's the one that does control. And we're walking this pathway, we're running this pathway, and not only us are going, remember, other people are going too. And at the appropriate time, he allowed us to hand off some advice or some help or some prayer to someone else. It will be an allotted time. It will be a time that he has given. We got to take full advantage of it. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, along this pathway, we rejoice evermore. And he says, we can pray without ceasing. Sometimes I do. I think my best praying when I'm driving. Doesn't take a lot of thought to drive, you know. You're going along, and God has given us ability to do more than one thing at the same time. And we can drive, we can pray, we can seek it for us. I have been so blessed before. I remember coming home from Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi, a lot of times. At one particular time, the boys were in the back seat asleep, and Sandra was asleep, and it was like 10 or 11 at night. And I was tired and weary after driving, you know, that distance, 500 miles or so. But I was praying. And when we got, I remember we got about 25 miles from home, and then we got to home where I could turn off. And I was having such a good time with the Lord, I thought about not even going to the house. Just going by, because I was just praying and seeking his face. Then I remembered it's just not me in this car. What would Sandra and the boys think when they wake up and say, where are we, Dad? Where are you, Roy? Oh, we passed the house. I'm just going, where are you going? I'm just praying and seeking his face because mercy and truth was guiding me. But I didn't relent to that. I went on home because it wasn't just me. See, I had others. And it's not just you. Along the pathway of life, there's others. And God has led us in the direction he wants us to go to give us a blessing. So he says, along the pathway, we rejoice evermore and we pray without ceasing. And everything, give thanks. For the bad circumstances, that's what he said. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I used to read that and I used to think Paul said, I have learned to be content in every state. That doesn't mean just Mississippi and Alabama and North Carolina and Tennessee. It means every condition. I have learned to be content in every state, in every circumstance, in every obstacle that comes. How do you do that, Paul? 1 Thessalonians, he wrote about it here. Look at verse 18. In everything give thanks. And I used to wonder, how can you get thanks? Give thanks when trouble is all around you. When it seems like there's no way out. Because when you remember that it's his pathway, not yours. You're following directions. He is allowing. He is putting you through that situation to teach you that I'll be there with you, I'll never forsake you, and you can lean on me. And a lot of times, no doubt he's doing that to keep us from getting exalted. Paul was taught that. We get exalted within ourselves. We get elevated up and we think we're the only one going. Oh, no, no, no. There's others involved. So he says, give thanks in everything. You can do it. He would never tell us to do that if you couldn't. I've been there. I was laying in the hospital bed 35 days and almost died. And he got me so close to him during those days, I was actually thanking him that he allowed me. Don't think I'm crazy. I was thanking him that he allowed me to go through what I went through, all the suffering, and all, because I realized he is the driver in this. He's the one that put me on this pathway. And I wouldn't be, I'm not anything anyway. But if I ever do amount to anything, it will be because of some of the pathways he has put me on to teach me the hard times. There are circumstances that I did not understand. Look back at where God's brought you from. You can get bitter with God if you want to. I wouldn't advise it. Because he says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. And when we do that, remember, mercy and truth are with you. It's his pathway, his bright shining lights directing your journey. Get the flesh out of the way and start realizing that he's Lord. I'm headed somewhere. And I've got people watching me and looking at me to see how I make the journey. And if I falter, it may cause them to falter. And they may. So the verse says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Oh yeah. On this pathway that we're on, no matter where it's at, your pathway, my pathway, quite different sometimes, but all is on. There's evil all around. Abstain from all appearances of evil. A lot of people say, well, they're doing it in that church, they're doing it in that church, but doesn't measure up to the Word of God. Well, it's 99% light and right. There's enough goodness, enough perfection in God's Word going around. Why dabble with the 1% that's gray? Wouldn't you rather just have all light than to worry about what others do? Oh, this pathway is so bright, so clear. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And if it doesn't agree with God's word in any fashion, it's not right. So abstain from it. God taught me so much, and I don't have time to tell you some little things, but when I first came here, 27 years ago almost, in April, Lord willing, if I'm still here and you haven't fired me, that he told me there will be people that don't like to preach and there will be people that don't like this and that. He said, don't worry about it. It's my church. Unless the Lord build the church, I labor in vain that build it. He said, but I promise you this, for every person that leaves, I'll send three. That's a pretty good deal, wasn't it? If he's the one who sends them, it'll be the right people, and God still sends it. He knows what we need. He knows who we are, and he's sending you. We don't go out and necessarily recruit. It's good if we knock on doors and all that, but God's building the church. And if we do it our way, we're laboring in vain. So we trust God. We're following his directions, his pathways, his church. We're just so fortunate to be a part of the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to hurry. Verse 23. And the very, listen to what he promises. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, set you apart on this pathway. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've learned, as we're on this pathway, we're learning more about the pathway. We're looking, and we understand there is contentment through circumstances. And we're learning to be content in every state, every condition he sends us. Then look at the fact that we have confidence in him. How can we be content? How can we have joy and fullness? Next verse, verse 24. Because of the confidence we have in Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I didn't call myself. I didn't set my pathway. The word will do it means to make ready, to prepare, to set before us. And he's faithful in doing that. I'm not always faithful. You're not always faithful. But he is faithful. I have complete confidence in him on this pathway that he set it before me. He allows circumstances. He allows events to occur for my good. And I give him thanks and glory for it. I'm learning all the way. And I have full confidence that he that began a good work in me will perform it till the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let's look at the next thing. We look at the limited time we've got. We're looking for the best path. We're learning along this pathway. But I want to look at the concern that we have for other people. And I want to look next at the lessons. Some lessons concerning carelessness and disregard. Remember the first verse we read, the latter part, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. But they said, some said, We will not walk therein. Therein, we won't walk the way you told us to. It's your pathway. We want to go our way. And people do this even after they get saved. They want to go where they want to go, do as they want to do, pleasure. No fulfillment in that unless the Lord gives us the contentment along the journey. So, regardless of what a lot of people say, we don't have to say that. Let's look at some other dangers along this pathway. And it's scary because there's lessons that we can learn concerning disregard and disrespect and carelessness along this pathway. Proverbs 15:10. Correction is grievous. And to him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. You see, along this pathway, if we get careless, and if we get disrespectful and unconcerned about the things of God, then there is correction coming. Because he bought us, he paid for us, we belong to him if you're saved. And so he has full right to design and put us on his pathway. And if we don't behave along that pathway, it'll be grievous. Correction is grievous to him that forsaketh the way. A lot of people try that. Doesn't work out too good. And he that hateth reproof shall die. And if people, Paul is his example, some are saved and they just keep on going their way, and he'll just turn them over safe for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. It's an awful thing, you might think. Hey, but remember, it's a pathway. The pathway he put you on leads in one direction. You can't go back. You can deter. You can get off the pathway. But that pathway that he put you on will lead home. And if you're determined, if people are determined to disrespect and be too careless along the way, he'll just correct them. And if not, verse just told us again, he that hateth reproof shall die. Proverbs 12:26. And the way of righteousness is life. Remember, the righteousness, what's righteousness? Doing right before God. He imputes. We don't have any of our own. If you had it, you'd lose it. But he, because we lose everything, remember we're still in flesh. But when he gave you eternal life, he is righteous, and he imputes, clothes us with his righteousness. And ours is as filthy rags. But the scripture says, and the way of righteousness, his righteousness that he has clothed us with is life, abundant life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. Not going to fade out until you get to the destination he wants you to be at. We looked at these four things. Let's look lastly. We're looking for Christ to soon come. We believe with all our heart that he is coming soon. We don't have the date, nor the hour, nor the month, nor the year. Doesn't matter. He is soon coming. Well, how should we be? Let's look at our final destination. Micah 4:2. Final destination. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. See, the Jewish people and God's people in every nation, if he saved them and redeemed them, they're on his path. Not their own, his path. For the law shall not go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We're looking for Christ to soon come. So in that, let's look at our final destination. For some of us, it's been a long journey, a long pathway. I'm 77 years old, just turned 77. Seven's God's perfect number, and I don't know what the next one attached to it is. But I haven't been perfect. But his way is perfect. Many times I've strayed and blundered, been careless. So have you. But his mercy and truth has been there. And when he corrected me, I accepted that correction. I got on my knees and repented, as I have to do daily. You say daily? You know, James says, if any man seem to be holy and not, you see, God has straightened us out. And James has taught us so precious in the Word of God that He is holy, He is pure, and we're not. And along the journey of life, it's His goodness, His mercy. So our final destination will be home. Some will be bruised and battered because we had to have correction over and over and over from Him. It's for our good, because if you're saved, that pathway can't go anywhere else except home. But it could be a pathway, remember, of joy and peace. Wait a minute. I've had hard knocks all along the way. Been for your good. Still for your good. And He's the one that describes and determines all that. Aren't you proud He is and not you? If any one of us were to try to choose our pathway and our direction, anything about anything would be miserable. Thank God, along the journey, there's a final destination. Can you imagine when you get there, whether it be by the grave, whether it be by the coming of the Lord while we're still living, perhaps? A place called heaven, a final destination. It's a place for the redeemed. Let redeemed by the Lord say so. Along this journey of life, all the people that you encounter, if you're redeemed on this journey of life and if He puts you on it, then we ought to tell other people about the joy of the Lord. Don't let people hear you talking about the church or talk. I know our church isn't perfect because nobody in it's perfect. He's perfect, but we're not. And we make mistakes. I make my share, you make yours. But thank God the light still shines and mercy and peace and joy unspeakable is there along the way and He forgives. People go out that stayed on the journey of life and they're so disrespectful. They talk about the preacher didn't preach right. No, but the great preacher does. And we don't sing right. You didn't let me sing. You didn't let me do this and that. And people hear that. What do you think you're doing to them? They need to hear you talk about the joy of the Lord. And the scripture tells us that we're headed home. We're somebody headed somewhere. And don't let people hear us bellyache and talk about, God didn't treat me right. Listen, God's done right, God's doing right, and God will do right. He can't do anything but right. And if there's any wrong along the journey, it's me and it's you. Well, let's give God the honor and the glory because we're headed home. Sweet place of home. Now let's look at the faithful in Christ. The faithful in Christ, we're called the children of light. He is the great light. And He shines upon you, and He shines upon me. But the problem is, sometimes we aren't good reflectors. You're either reflecting the love of Christ, or you're deterring that, and you're taking that precious love that He died on the cross, He instilled in you the hope of glory. And if we're not reflectors of Christ's love to lost and dying, we're soaking it up. You know what happens when you apply the love or something on an object? It either reflects or it absorbs. When you start absorbing, you get fleshly. And God have to deal with it. But we're somebody headed somewhere. And there are people in this world that are in darkness. They're in destruction. But we're the people of light, folks. We're the people that's rejoicing. Why? Because their name's written there. The disciples got all excited, as well as they should. God had given them the power to cast out demons and to do many works in their name. And they got so excited about it, they told the Lord, look what the devil has to do. They have to flee when we mention your name. And that's good, but it wasn't because of their righteousness, because of Christ's righteousness in them. And He said, that's well and good, but there's something greater. Rejoice because your name is written there. So when the bad circumstances come, and all the disappointments and disillusionment and distrust, and all the world's got to offer, we can still rejoice in the Lord. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? Our final destination is a place called home. And we're looking for Christ to soon appear. Brother Randy, you have a song to sing? If you're here this morning, you're not saved. You're wandering on your own in the dark paths of this world. They don't lead home, they lead to destruction, damnation. There's only one pathway that will lead to a place called heaven. And that's the pathway he chooses that he puts you on when you surrender your life and get saved. If you're not on that pathway, you're headed on one that's going to end up in a place called hell. But if you are on that pathway, remember it's his chosen pathway for you. And you have a limited time that he gives you to reach another one and to reach another one. But during that limited time, you can make a lot of mistakes. You can drop the baton. You can look back. You can get discouraged. It's not just affecting you in the race. It's affecting others that God has given you opportunity to be with, to influence. God has given us this portion of his word this morning to look at the fact we are in this pathway of abundant life. Let's let him make full assurance of our lives that we're hid in Christ and we're going home. Brother Randy. 371.